Alright, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5.
Yeah, come on!
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing on a Monday? It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Barry, Nick, Joel, all in studio, ready to go for the next 3 hours. Hopefully you are, too. Take us wherever you may go on this Monday in the big city. A whole weekend to kind of recount and recuperate from. But, boy, it's fun when football season's here. And it is, boys.
So much stuff going on.
It is. What to do, man? What's going on?
You tell me, man. How was your weekend?
It's fantastic.
Did you do anything Sunday night?
Nothing. Absolutely. Just watch football. Just watch TV. Being a professional, getting ready for the sports week, sir.
Did you catch Barry's show last night?
Maybe, yeah, parts of it.
That's good. You're supporting your buddy, your bro, your man. That's good.
He's such an a-hole.
I'm so glad this is a short week for me. I'm so glad this is a short week.
It's a short week for you.
Yeah, I don't have to put up with you guys Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday.
Oh, you're going to Vegas.
No, Los Angeles.
Los Angeles.
Oh, that's where the fight is. That's right. Los Angeles. Yeah. Not as fun. I mean, weed is legal.
I'm not looking forward to
that,
letting your loyalty show
to the prices of Los Angeles. Maybe Joel can Joel and our hotel guy Steve could tell me what I could do to save some money when I'm in Los Angeles.
Sleep in the rent car.
That's probably what I'm going to need to do.
Yeah,
I think he'll probably have some ideas for you, but he's probably going to have to base it on budget because you know some of his ideas get top shelf, and then others get
it's Nick. More... So budget is $3
exactly. It's like $2.73.
That would be my budget as well.
I don't think you could even get a newspaper for that in L.A.
Yeah,
seriously.
I took Nora to Corpus with me this weekend. I was like, "Well, you said you wanted a vacation."
Wow,
that's what I would do.
You went all out.
Yeah, so. Well, that's cool. So you're leaving Wednesday?
Wednesday night after the show.
Okay.
Way back Wednesday.
Oh, okay, so you'll be with us through Wednesday and then out Thursday, Friday.
Yeah, I was lying. I was hoping it was Wednesday.
Who's producing for us on Thursday and Friday?
I'm assuming it's Aaron, but I don't know.
Ugh.
I do not know.
I like Aaron.
Did I say that out loud? Ugh.
Yep, your mic was still on, sir.
Damn it. No, Aaron's cool.
Yeah,
what about Jose sticking around?
You're literally lobbying for another producer right now?
No, I'm just saying, like, Aaron
he's
always
gets stuck
with
us. He's
got
to do his show on the network with...
Oh, that's right.
Stoots and...
He does.
The Ass Man.
Yeah.
Isn't that what they call that show, Stoots and the Ass Man? No?
Not nice.
Jake and the... Never mind.
Oh, my God. And it's so...
it's right
just
there.
Right there.
It's right there, and we didn't see it until just now. Do you remember a TV show called Jake and the Fat Man?
It was legitimately a show.
It was a show.
It was a national TV show.
There was
no
show.
One has brought this up to our attention.
It just popped into my head, Jake and the Fat Man, and wow,
he's absolutely right.
And now I feel like a terrible person because I love Cody Stoots, even though his take on the Texans offensive line was off
base.
Oh
boy, did you guys?
I got hammered. Everybody was disagreeing with me.
Holy moly, did you? You walked right into a firestorm there.
Yeah, I tell you what, I upset a lot of folks when I said I didn't think that the Texans offensive line played well.
Yeah.
Well, I think the way you phrased your
Deshaun Watson almost got killed 15,000 times this weekend.
Yeah, you said I don't know what game you guys are watching or something like that, and I was like, uh-oh.
I mean, what was your take on this?
I thought the line played fairly well.
Did you?
I really did.
Okay.
And I thought that the fact that I think they're going to continue to get better, but I think a lot of it from the standpoint of the pressures that he got was he's still hanging onto the ball too long, but... And his escapability was ridiculous, especially in the second half.
Wait. Well, why would you have to escape if the line's holding up?
Because sometimes he hangs onto the ball too long.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll get to that.
Okay, coach. We'll get to it. I'm just saying, you asked my opinion. I thought, especially with what they had been dealing with. Now, look, Deshaun Watson was about to send an NFL record for the most games consecutively with a minimum of 4 sacks. He tied the record last week.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that he only got 2 kept him from breaking Jeff George's record, amongst others. So there were positives. And, you know, we can go back and forth. The biggest positive of all was they got a win against a quarterback that was with the ranking of Phillip Rivers that Bill O'Brien had never seen before.
And a road win, regardless of who was playing and not for the Chargers, that's a big deal for this team.
Listen, that's the thing is I felt like I got kind of cornered into defending my position and dying on the hill of the offensive line not playing well, which takes away from my thoughts on the game as a whole, which was huge win,
yeah,
great win, super excited as a fan, happy for this team. That's a, you go on the road, you face a really good Chargers team. And a really good Phillip Rivers, and you come out with a victory, and after you give them a cheap touchdown, let's not forget that, yes, that first touchdown, that shouldn't, I mean, that's just a bonehead play by Deshaun Watson, thinking you can throw it at the feet back of a screen, you know, running back in a screen.
Kudos to Sharping, though, because a lot of offensive linemen would have just given up, and that's
absolutely
a touchdown. Sure, it turned into a touchdown, but it was a heads-up play by him.
And so, I mean, you spotted them 7 points based off of that bonehead move, but then he makes up for it with all the other plays, the one to Akins when he's running left and throws right, and that was a beautiful thing, and after the pocket collapsed on him, and my thing about the offensive line, and then this is, you know, I disagree with some people. If you look at the touchdown throws when he had time, it was because the Chargers, for some dumb reason, decide to only rush four. I think they thought if they dropped everyone in coverage, they could confuse Deshaun Watson. If he has time, he's really good.
Yeah.
That's why you just don't give the guy time. But if you look at the first touchdown, they rushed three. So you got 5-on-3. Laremy Tunsil was 1-on-1 with his defender. The other two linemen were double-teaming a Chargers D lineman. That's a terrible idea. The other times they had they brought in a sixth lineman to act as a tight end to chip. They had running backs chipping. That when I think the fourth touchdown, there was four guys that the Chargers rushed. So when you look at when he had these touchdown throws, a lot of times the Chargers were only rushing four. Now, credit where credit is due, I thought that the line did protect better, but it's not like they were good. I didn't think they were good.
Well, I mean, first of all, the fact that this is the first time that this unit has really played together like this, and they're going to get better. They're going to continue to gel. But I think you can't talk about what you can't predict what the Chargers are going to do. But what you can talk about is what the Texans were able to do. And the best comparison, because I saw you guys all going back and forth, and I'm like, look, the bottom line is at least Deshaun Watson wasn't Baker Mayfield. Because Baker Mayfield, with a clean pocket, was already running for the hills and then was throwing just ducks and just couldn't throw it anywhere. Deshaun was kind of hanging in there, showing that he had trust in his line early in each play. And then at a certain point, the clock goes off in your head and then he starts to elude and move. But at least he had the gumption to stay in the pocket to do what he needed to do. But man, I'm telling you what, and I don't want to poo-poo on the Texans because, like I'm saying, it was a big win. But I'm watching this thing and then seeing the balls that he's able to throw when he is just calm in the pocket and going, maybe if he was with Kansas City and Andy Reid his whole career, maybe he'd be Patrick Mahomes-like already, because, boy, he's super talented, that guy.
He really is. He makes chicken salad out of chicken bleep a lot of times. And I'm looking at my notes, and one of my notes just says, pass protection on Houston first touchdown was good, but they only rushed three. So, I mean, I'm trying to say, hey, they did good in certain end of the QB third touchdown, only rushed four again. Like, they did their job when they were supposed to. Mm-hmm. But I still felt like when he rushed seven times, I think I posted the numbers on Twitter in rebuttal. Where, as like, if you look at total of number of QB hits, sacks, and rushes, they've gone down every week, but they're still high. It went from like 18 to 16 to 15.
So I think hearing you saying is they're better.
They're not
a good line.
Right. They're better, but they're not good. But you got a long way to go from being the worst to being good.
That's why.
So if you move up from the worst to just slightly below average, that's great. It's still not good, though. Let's not act like they're line of the year.
Because of the fact that when you saw this unit, and like I said, it's a small sample size, but they're just learning how to play alongside one another. And you saw, regardless of what position they were drafted to play, the fact that Sharping and Howard make a big difference. The fact that you got it right with Laremy Tunsil. Maybe the price was too high, but the bottom line is, dude can play. And that hopefully I'm optimistic because with each passing week, I expect this line to get better and better, which is a good
thing
because of the fact that it's been so putrid for so long.
Listen, I think that they made the right moves by moving Tytus Howard to right. Sharping, I thought, played pretty damn well.
Yep.
at left guard. And so, I mean, if that's the case and all you have to worry about going forward is right guard, my only other concern is there was Deshaun Watson rushed 7 times, okay? Now, some of this you can blame on the secondary of the Chargers. You know, there were times where guys weren't open. Maybe Deshaun holds the ball a little long and the pocket collapses on him. But when you look at it overall, the pressure, just because he didn't get hit or sacked, but he still had to scramble, he still had to run, he still had to dump down because he ran out of time. So there's still a lot to work on.
Sure.
And that was my point, is people were saying how good this was. Let me give you, you know me, I'm a numbers guy. And mm-hmm. I broke down the whole runs versus QB hits versus sacks. And it's two different things. If you get a QB hit, or if you get a sack, it doesn't count as a QB hit. So when you see 7 QB hits and 2 sacks, that's still nine times that he was on his back. All right. But in 2018, Deshaun Watson had 3.01 seconds to throw the ball. So far in 2019, he's had 2.92. I'll mind you that they gave up 60-some-odd sacks last year and were the worst offensive line in football. Through 3 games, this is his time allowed to throw. Game 1, 2.72. That's awful.
Yep.
All right? In game 2, it was 3.01, which is what they averaged in 2018. In game 3, this game against the Chargers, 3.02. So they were 0.01 seconds better in pass protection and time allowed for Deshaun Watson to throw. So, again, I say, were they better? Yes. Are they good? Not yet.
That's you know, fair to... And you obviously you're bringing a lot of stats to the table too. I'm just saying on the eye test and from watching this, and again, you can't dictate what the defense is going to do.
Yeah.
But at least I saw the signs that I didn't see when this roster took the field for the first regular season game. I didn't see the optimism of a unit that can come together and get better and continue
totally
to put up better
that.
Numbers.
Totally agree with
I
that.
Didn't see a left tackle that I believe now is going to be there for 10 years and be the guy. So at least I got all that. In my head going, hey, and again, give Deshaun Watson a hell of a lot of credit because there were a few where he escaped. I don't know another quarterback, including Patrick Mahomes, in the league that's going to escape the way he did.
He's amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't say enough good things. Now, I realize again, and go watch or go read Lance Zierlein on Twitter, and he'll break a lot of it down for you. And he'll tell you that the truth of the matter is that this isn't all on the offensive line when there's problems. Deshaun Watson holds the ball too long. Receivers sometimes don't get open. And the big knock is that he does hold the ball a long time. But I think that just the fact that he can extend plays, throw on the run, and make those kind of decisions, he's multidimensional, but he's not your typical, your prototypical running quarterback. It's so fun to watch. And some of the plays he makes. Now, he gets lucky sometimes. There should have been several interceptions that either were called back because of a penalty or a drop or whatever. I feel like he makes some squirrely plays and he makes some bad decisions on occasion, but all young quarterbacks do that. But the fact of the matter is this dude is so talented that we as fans in this city are lucky to finally have a quarterback to root for that's not going out there and just shooting himself in the foot play after play because he's awful.
And the other thing, too, is go watch Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
Go watch some of these young guys and realize how special a talent he is because what he's doing on the run, what he's doing while he's scrambling is a very, very tough skill to have learned or otherwise.
Yeah.
And a lot of guys just don't have it, and he's got it. And that's why, like I said, forget what they had to give up because the long term is yet to be seen. But what they did prior to the start of this season with the addition of Tunsil for sure, but then when you look at what Stills
Kenny
again
Stills.
After another
Golly.
Week, and you're like, okay, they are a lot better for this season and in the short term because of what they were able to do.
I mean, look, when they made the move to get Deshaun Watson, we were all like, oh, you know, boy, that they overpaid a little bit, but they addressed the need. The same could be said for going out and getting a left tackle. They may have overpaid, but they addressed the need. So you can't criticize them for sitting on their and resting on their laurels and just, well, we hope. And they kept trying to draft guys and that weren't working out. They just went out and made the move. So you're right. The future is the future, and it's probably not going to be great.
Yeah.
But right now, they did what they had to do.
No doubt about it. All right, just getting started on the usual suspects. That means plenty of time for you. If there's something on your mind you want to get off your chest, Texans or otherwise, 713-780-3776. That's our HR&P listener line. Call that number. Text that number. Hit us up on Twitter, at Barry is funny, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, at the producer Nick. And before we head to the break, I want to tell you, if you've been thinking about trying to get out of town for a vacation, a staycation with the family or your significant other, and you just haven't been able to do it, you can't dictate and dedicate the amount of time to do it, you don't have to leave the city, and you can do all of it and more because it's all about the Houstonian. I've been telling you about the Houstonian. You may have thought you have to be a member to enjoy the Houstonian's health club. Nope. You can visit the club anytime if you're a hotel guest. The hotel, the restaurants, the spas, all available to you and your family or your guest or your significant other. Why drive to a resort or fly 3 or 4 hours away when you can do it all in your own backyard? A weekend getaway? It's just perfect. It's luxurious accommodations, deluxe guest rooms, spectacular suites. You actually forget what city you're in because they have 27 wooded acres. They have that health club we were talking about. It's amazing at 175,000 square feet. They have 4 pools. They have 4 restaurants. They have the Trellis Spa. They have everything you need, and it's all at your fingertips without having to leave the city. You got to check it out because whether it's for business or pleasure, they have the meeting halls, and if you want to get married there, they have beautiful, beautiful ballrooms. But just try it and get away. For the fact that we talk about escapability in football, escapability means you can get out of the hustle and bustle of Houston without leaving the city, and that's a big deal. Go to thehoustonian.com, check it out. Play the video. You'll be glad you did. You'll see all the different ways that the Houstonian can relieve some stress in your life. I know that I have just can't rave enough about how great a facility it is. And if after you look at the internet, you aren't convinced, I'm telling you, you're not looking at the right things because the Houstonian is the place to be for business and pleasure.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Here we go. Second segment of the show. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5, Monday, Houston, big city time. Getting back to work. Getting back into our routine, and hopefully your routine is to always keep us tuned in right here at ESPN 97.5. Started to talk a little Texans in segment number one. And we were talking about the line play, but overall, a big, big, much-needed win for this team. I think that when we were all doing our prognostications of the season, and obviously it was done before the trade with the Dolphins or the trade with the Chiefs, but we looked at it and thought this was going to be a pretty tough game for them to get. And now it's like things are happening in bunches again for a team that seems to have a four-leaf clover in their back pocket, because not only do they get a win against the Chargers team on the road playing without Melvin Gordon and several other guys, but and that's beside the point. They got the win. But now they get to host Carolina in another game that we thought was kind of like one of those season make-or-break games. And Cam Newton is going to sit out again. Second straight week, they've already announced he will not play against the Texans. So maybe they're catching a break there as well.
I tell you what, yeah, like we talked about last week, it was one of those things you say 6-10 if they're lucky, because the beginning of that schedule is brutal.
Yep.
They almost beat New Orleans. You know, they eke one out against the Jags.
Sure.
But then they handle their business against the Chargers. And now they could most likely, if they could get this win, you go from a team that should have been 1-3 to a team that's 3-1, and holy cow.
And taking an Atlanta team that's taken it in the rear end for the first couple weeks of the season doesn't look very good. So, you know what? You only play the schedule that's presented to you.
Yep.
But the fact that they're doing what they need to do, and like you said, they got that loss in week one. But considering the circumstances, national TV, opening game against that Super Bowl contender, and they hang in there till the final play of the game, and you say, you know what? I'll tip my cap, but say, I like what I saw out of the Texans. And sure, a week later, you were like ready to go, uh-oh, this is the same Texas team we've seen too many times. But now it looks like, hey, if they start putting these things together, these new guys continue to get acclimated, the line continues to gel, the secondary is a problem.
Yeah, the secondary is a big problem. And I'll tell you what surprised me is, as good as the line improved from last week to this week in pass protection, run blocking I thought was a lot worse. I mean, when you only rush for 40 yards,
the numbers,
and you talk about
that.
Carlos Hyde and Duke Johnson and how good they've been thus far, that was a bit disappointing. And I know Hyde put it on himself. He said, great win, but I've got to be better in the run game. Yeah, there also has to be some holes opened up, and there wasn't a lot. He did get that, you know, that touchdown run where a lot of that was on him, but Sharping kind of led the way as well on that run. So you got to give credit to having Sharping at left guard there. But there was, you know, like you said, secondary, and I think run blocking was a little disappointing for sure. But the fact that this receiving core with Hopkins still's leading the way this time around. Hopkins was it was tough to find him in the beginning, but every time you look up, Stills makes a big play. And I think we're undervaluing what he means to this team since that trade. Because
they said every one of his catches until late in the game yesterday was either a first down or a touchdown.
It's crazy. And, I mean, Will Fuller is playing out of his mind and playing really well. So when you look at the weapons that Deshaun Watson has, his ability to create, now they're involving the tight ends. What the hell is going on there? You just can't say enough good things about this team right now and how excited you have to be.
And I think when you were talking about the line, I'll say the same thing about the running backs. Yes, they need to be better in terms of run blocking, but also those two guys got to see the first hole and hit it instead of bouncing everything to the outside. Because when they tried to stretch everything to the outside and they got real kind of – they just got in a bad habit of bouncing everything to the outside, and then the D-line and the linebacking core of the Chargers is just too good at being able to stretch it out and get them to literally no gain – that they've got to hit that first hole they see too. But again, work in progress. But with all that said about a work in progress, to get that result, to move the football the way they were able to move the football, to get the tight ends involved, lots of things to be happy about and look forward to.
I mean, one of the biggest ones is getting J.J. Watt going. I mean, he had 5 QB hits. He had 2 sacks. He had 3 tackles for a loss. So to see him have that kind of breakout game, which also, by the way, it surprised me watching the game last night. Didn't realize Aaron Donald hadn't recorded a sack until week as well. So,
well, I was watching that Texan game and you and I predicting what J.J. Watt was going to have sack-wise in double digits, and I'm going, God, he may not even get close. And then all of a sudden, you know, everybody was like, oh, my God, looking at J.J. Watt's stats this week compared to the first two, and you're like, yeah, he's just too good to keep down for the entire season.
The problem is when you look at the box score and your leading tacklers are Jonathan Joseph, Justin Reed, and Lonnie Johnson, you go, uh-oh.
And Reed took a beating because
Joseph didn't. He had to come out for several plays. Lonnie Johnson was 50-50. He'd get burned, and then he'd make a good play. Then he'd get burned, and he'd make a good play. But, you know how you don't get burned, especially at the gas pump? Get upside. That's right. I want you guys getting as much cash back as you can get when you make your purchases, and the best way to do that is through Get Upside. Who else is giving you cash back? Not a lot of folks out there just going to give you your own money back, but you can make that happen through Get Upside. Guys, do yourself a favor right now. If you have not, I know you hear me talk about this every day, but a lot of you aren't downloading it, I'm sure. Now, a ton of you are. In fact, we had a listener text the show today. I'm so happy to report this. I'll give you how much they have in their account in a second. But here's what I want you to do to get your cut of the money. Right now, go to your app store, whether it's iTunes or Google Play, search for Get Upside, all one word, and click on install. And when you do that, it takes a couple of seconds to get set up. Put in my promo code Barry, B-A-R-R-Y, and you're on your way. And your first fill up, you're going to get a bump by using that promo code. That's why it's important. I want you to get that seed money going in your account and get excited about this because you're going to love using this app. Now, I'm looking at a text in our inbox. Hey, Barry, it's JC from the 409. This Get Upside thing just keeps growing. This dude has $503 in his account. That is insane. $500,000. He's got a half a bag in his account, y'all. Are you getting money back when you fill up? Probably not if you're not using Get Upside. Are you getting money when you go out to eat? Probably not if you're not using Get Upside. Here's what you can get. At the pump, up to 25 cents a gallon. When you go out to eat at restaurants, up to 35% cash back. Guys, this is real money. I'm looking at it. I'm going to sit. If you don't believe me, at Barry is Funny on Twitter, I'm gonna tweet you JC's screenshot from his Get Upside account. $500. Where's your $500? Go right now. Download Get Upside. Put in my promo code Barry. Start getting that cash back and thank me later.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Half hour into the show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Appreciate you taking us along for the ride in the big city. Nick, Mac Daddy, has an obsession with you. He has stated on Twitter.
That got creepy.
You are no longer in view on the stream. What's he doing? Things that make you go, I see you.
It was the camera needed to be adjusted. It's been adjusted.
Well, we say that when you're on camera every day, but at the same time, Mac Daddy was looking for you specifically.
Yeah, it was just the camera. Camera angle was a little messed up. It's back up, so we're good. So if you want to see my ugly face, it's there now.
Okay. Highly advise against that.
Yeah. I would advise against that. So.
For sure.
All up and all good on the Twitch.
Well, that's always important. I hope you're monitoring those comments with a fine-tooth comb, because those are always important.
I don't really respond to them, so I think they kind of stopped. I mean, every once in a while.
Because, like, Aaron, for the Blitz, he responds to them, right? Yeah. That's crazy.
Somebody texted and said, I hate to say it, but Bill O'Brien's halftime adjustments were great. Listen, Bill O'Brien has done a pretty damn good job this year of coaching. There hasn't been a lot of egregious things where you look at and go, what the hell? Like, I jokingly tweeted out last night watching that Browns game when Freddie Kitchens decides on 4th and 9 to run a draw play. I was like, what did he read? Like, play calling for dummies written by Bill O'Brien? Like,
That's what the hell?
But let's be real. I mean, he adds a new wrinkle this week with the tight ends. Now, how much of that is just Deshaun Watson finding an open tight end in the midst of all the chaos? I don't know, but my big gripe this year has been with Romeo Crennel in that secondary, and we even found out that when that week one loss against the Saints, when they got into field goal position, that's why Aaron Colvin got cut partially, not just because of his bad game, but because they wanted him to play press coverage, and he didn't. He played off the ball and gave up the big catch to set up the game-winning field goal. So all in all, I mean, you can complain and nitpick about a lot of things, but the fact is this Texans team is 2-1, and there's a lot more that's going good and right than wrong.
Yeah, no question about it. And again, they just play the schedule that's presented to them, right? So with that, you just worry about game by game, putting the best effort you can put forward, and then you worry about if Cam Newton's playing for Carolina or not, or if the Falcons are struggling or not. But you take care of your business, and again, you can't even predict the predictability of the injuries within your own division. But all you do is go out there and try and make sure that division title at the end of the year, you've got something to say about. And they do. And they've got a good roster now. And again, if the biggest complaint that you have is the way Jonathan Joseph played yesterday and some of the secondary issues, that's a whole hell of a lot better than where we were at the start of the season with all the holes we said this lineup had. Mm-hmm. So they have made some right moves. And to your point about Bill O'Brien, sure, the time management and the using of timeouts and those things are still going to be things that are a point of contention.
They won that game.
But if that's the only thing that you're really complaining about, as opposed to run it into the line, third and long, run it into the line, you know, and play all those things, then we're making some progress here finally.
And even if those, you know, I don't mind it as much. It's boneheaded, and we bitched about it all week. But you know what? They still won that game. His lack of calling timeouts in the first half didn't cost them a victory. And that's the things you also have to take into account. I mean, when he's does something stupid, we call it out, but you also have to give credit where credit is due. And I think that's the mistake that we get caught up into as media and as fans, is it's just easy to crap on Bill O'Brien, and it's just easy to crap on the offensive line, and it's just easy to crap on this team. The fact of the matter is they're doing more right than wrong, and credit where credit is due. And it should be that way.
Yeah, no doubt. And look, I try to be honest, and I try to be open-minded. So if I see something that looks like it's a blaring issue, then I'm going to say it. But if you see something that's good, I'm going to give them credit. And to your point, Barry, we were talking about the timeouts a week ago. We were talking about the lack of using them. The press conference was a joke afterwards where he tried to validate what he was trying to do. But here we go this week, and sure, Fairbairn misses the field goal, but they did everything right to get that ball in the right position to get that kick off and have a chance to add 3 points before the end of the half. So I'm not complaining. I give them credit. You can't predict if it, you know, the percentages obviously go way down when you're talking about a 50-plus yard field goal.
58.
But they had a chance.
Man, he could have made it from 60 if he was online.
And had plenty of leg.
Yeah.
So, you know, give O'Brien and his staff credit for that because they were able to execute.
So, speaking of that, Jesse James texted the show. It's kind of long, but I want to read this because I want to make a point about it. He said they didn't overpay a little. They're talking about Laremy Tunsil. You can't minimize the cost of Tunsil because of one okay game. They will get better as they gel, but ask any other team if they would trade those assets for one offensive lineman. First of all, it wasn't one offensive
lineman.
Kenny
Stills.
It was Kenny Stills as well, who has been really productive. Yeah. Really, really productive in this offense and will probably continue to be going forward. It's a Super Bowl or bust based on what Bill has done for this franchise. Literally, they are set back years now. Someone needs to hold him accountable. Why doesn't the media going 9-7? Okay, let me just stop you there.
Yeah.
this entire city craps on Bill O'Brien on a weekly basis, Jesse.
Daily basis.
So, yeah. So, to say that the media doesn't hold them accountable is just foolish. You're just typing it out of anger. And to say it's Super Bowl or bust, that's how it should be, bro. It should be Super Bowl or bust. And you know what he did? He went out and said, we got a good defense. Maybe not now, but they thought they did. We got a great quarterback. We've got running back. We need to get an offensive line put together. And then, damn it, it starts at left tackle. And he went out and he made that move.
I think the other
thing is, what's wrong with that?
I think the other thing is he started listening to the fan base. He started hearing the voices and the backlash of, hey, at a certain point, you can't be planning for the future anymore. You got to start planning for now. Now, when he pushed those buttons to make those moves, I don't think anybody anticipated he was going to be giving up assets like he did.
Yep.
But you know what he did? Whether it was protecting him, covering his own ass, or if it was finally taking it literally in a football state, you can only get a pass for so long and you got to perform, that he decided, hey, I'm going to bring in some of the resources that people have been clamoring for so I can make this team better. And he has done that.
And let's just put it this way, okay? You had, let's evaluate this in a vacuum. Let's not say that two ones and a two for Laremy Tunsil was overpaying, because you also got to add Kenny Stills, who I wasn't excited about, but turns out pretty damn good. I mean, he was third on the depth chart in Miami, which I don't know how.
Yeah, you and I went back and forth on this.
But
I knew he had talent.
I'm pretty damn excited about what he's brought to the table so far. But let's evaluate it a different way, Jesse. It's not that they overpaid, because let's assume that with that first pick in the 2020 draft, they go out and get a left tackle and it hits. So now what you did is you would have already used that pick on a left tackle. So what you did is you paid for an extra first round pick for a left tackle and then just assume that the second round pick was for Kenny Stills. When you look at it that way, it's a lot less different than say two ones and a two for a left tackle is too much. You're probably going to spend one of those picks on a left tackle anyways.
I will say the wins will make that trade that you feel bad. It might make you feel a little bit better. If you get a couple more wins, then that trade may not hurt or feel as bad to the fan or the average fan.
But
if they don't, if they're inconsistent in terms of the win-loss column, then I can see your point
now
to a certain extent.
But that's anything. If you don't, if this doesn't provide quantifiable results, then yeah, you missed. You whiffed.
But
he swung at it.
This is exactly what people wanted, because what I heard late in the night last night watching highlight shows was, based on what happened yesterday, based on how Deshaun Watson and the offense looked, this is a team next to the Chiefs and the Patriots that has to be considered as one of the better teams in the AFC. And that's what you wanted. That's what you expected. That's what you held Bill O'Brien accountable to in terms of a standard that we all thought he wasn't getting them to. At least short term, he's got them to that point and in that conversation because of this move. We can sit there and debate till we're blue in the face on how much you had to give up and was it too much. But from the short-term standpoint of putting a roster on the field week to week that can compete, so far it looks so good.
Well, I'm not ready to compare them to the Patriots, but
I said, aside from those two teams, but, you know, because early in the day, Phil Simms and those guys were like, look, it's a Texans team. I mean, offensively, you know what their play calling sucks every week, and it's going to get wild. I was like, wow. But by the end of the night, when you were talking to some of the guys on ESPN and you're hearing some of those guys talk about it, they're like, look, with all these weapons, and like you said, with Stills being a viable option and depth at receiver, and the fact that J.J.'s back to getting at the quarter. Merciless has been fantastic.
Yeah.
It's the secondary.
On the Stills thing, I like how when I'm right, Joel's like, yeah, I agreed with you. When I'm wrong, he's like, yeah, see, I told you.
I didn't want to say that. No, I'm not.
You never want to piggyback on me when I'm wrong.
I gave you all kinds of credit. Here's the other thing. I give you credit yesterday.
I'm just messing with you.
With the fact that I was all about Stills. And I said he wasn't a three.
I got to go back and listen to the tape, though. I don't recall that.
Yeah, to verify that.
I don't recall that.
But I was going to tweet it, and I wasn't. I was moving stuff and putting stuff together for the nursery, but I didn't have my phone near me. But when I heard early on Allen's name called for two touchdowns, I was like, remember where you heard that? Because Barry said Keenan Allen was the guy that was going to nip you in the butt if you weren't careful. And guess what he was doing? So I was going to give you your credit.
No, I was just messing with you. But do you watch any late night highlight shows, Nick?
Oh, my goodness. You guys are going to still
go. Joel did.
Wait. I was just asking.
No, I don't. As a matter of fact, I never watch TV. Okay. I only watch sports, sir.
I was just asking.
I thought you wanted to get a chuckle, so you watched Barry's show late at night.
We got to go to break right now.
Look at the time. Where does it go?
By the way, I just want to shout out to the TV show. I don't know if you've ever watched it, Nick, or maybe just have it on in the background, but it's doing pretty well.
That's good. Props to you and Jerome and The fact that
we pulled our highest rating of the year and
you
it's
guys
going
can
well.
Team up and do TV well and then go at each other's jugulars on Twitter. Fantastic.
See, just, and you think it's just you
hate,
and me.
Yeah, it's a love-hate thing.
See, it's not just you, Joseph.
No, it's just learning personalities.
That's right.
As we go. All right, as we go along, hour number one still rolling, still going all the way up until 4 o'clock. That means plenty of time for you to get involved. 713-780-3776, HR and Feed Listener Line. Call that number, text that number, as you already heard. We're good about getting those mentions on text messages in. And then, of course, if you want to join via Twitter, just hit us up there, and we're pretty good about answering all the time. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Rolling through hour number one, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5 on a Monday fun day. It is Nick, Barry, and Joel in the studio as we dissect the Texans and other things, and boy, oh boy, do we have plenty to get to because we haven't even scratched the surface on the division-winning Houston Astros.
I know.
We haven't talked about the rest of the NFL. We haven't talked about college football and some of the big games that happened on Saturday. As we really get into some of the meat and potatoes now of college football, this is a great time to be a sports fan when everything gets geared up.
It really is. And before we move on from the Texans, and we'll circle back, obviously. We're going to talk more Texans throughout the day. But I did want to read El Jefe's tweet.
It's fantastic.
Because it's pretty dead on accurate. He said, man, I'm very critical of Bill O'Brien, but after watching that Browns game last night, I thought to myself, could be worse.
No doubt.
Boy, oh boy. Right now, you got to be thinking this. You got to be thinking that. Now,
there's a lot of heat in the kitchens. See what I did there?
Look at you.
Yeah.
ESPN was like, well, they were all up in Freddie's kitchen. I'm like, okay.
All right, is Joel
they
writing for them?
To the suspects, Nick. I'm telling you, everybody's catching on.
Yeah, I saw that on ESPN last night. I heard
my
that.
Bit. I'm calling ESPN. Tell me who said it. It's my bit. I'm calling ESPN. That crap's going to stop.
I'm going to let them know.
People stealing my stuff.
That's right. Damn it. Y'all leave Pac-Man
all
Joel
up
alone.
In Freddie's kitchen.
Dude is all like having to answer questions. I'll tell you this, and I don't know if you saw that at the end of the game last night, but the fact that they were all questioning his play calls in the red zone, as well they should, but they fed it to Baker Mayfield, who has been notoriously good about taking the bait and spraying bullets at players and otherwise, and he stopped and said, I see what y'all are doing there, and I'm not going to do that. He goes, you know what? We had plenty of opportunities, and
even on the draw play, fourth and nine, when they ran the draw, he said, look, if we execute on that play, we get the first down. We didn't execute. It's not his fault. Somebody tried to cover it up by saying, oh, he checked out of that play. That's not what happened. So if you watch, you pay attention, you know.
But okay. Go ahead. No. I was just going to say, and the other thing is, Baker kind of maturing a little bit is good. But then when you watch the tape, and like we were talking about with Deshaun, and realize even with a clean pocket how many times he was bailing and he was worried about getting hit. That's something they got to work on, too. Sometimes that's on him as well as it's on Freddie Kitchens and anybody else.
So there are, what, 2, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 undefeated teams. There are 8 undefeated teams in the NFL after 3 weeks.
Yep.
Some of these, it doesn't surprise you. The Patriots, not really surprised. The Chiefs, not really surprised. The Rams, not really surprised.
Packers.
So
please prepare a very celebratory noisemaker, Nick.
So, okay. So we'll eliminate those. I'm going to read you the rest of the undefeated teams, and I want you to tell me who you think is the most surprising to get off to a 3-0 or a 2-0-1 start.
Lions, yeah.
Yeah. So the San Francisco 49ers, 3-0. Detroit Lions, 2-0-1. Green Bay Packers, 3-0. Dallas Cowboys, 3-0. And Buffalo Bills, 3-0. Who among those teams is the biggest surprise to you to start 3-0?
Buffalo Bills, 1.
Or undefeated.
Lions, 2. Okay. Niners, 3, without question. And the fact that, sure, you can say who have they played, and you, obviously with the Cowboys, we already knew going in they have a stacked roster. It's just their schedule has been pretty soft so far. It's supposed to get better, tougher, as you and I have talked about.
Yeah.
But I think no one would have anticipated, especially with the way the Lions tied the Cardinals.
Uh-huh.
Should have beat them, but it was still, Cardinals were too far into that game for a team that looked overmatched. To where you say, the Detroit's probably going to really struggle and have a really bad year. But now you go and you handle your business in Philly?
That's amazing.
That's I'm with big, you. Big win.
I leaned towards San Francisco because when you think about how bad Garoppolo was in the preseason and, oh, things just looked awful and he threw, it seems like 157 interceptions and things just weren't going well. And you had to question, was he going to be able to bounce back? So I had them second because if you paid attention to the pundits and people talking, a lot of people were saying, don't sleep on this Bills team. They were saying
they said their defense is all world.
Yeah, but they were also saying that this could be a Bills team that surprises some folks and maybe backs its way into a wild card spot or something like that. So I think I would have them third, but I'm with you. Lions have to be the big surprise when you consider who they beat. You're right. They tied the Cardinals. But to beat a good Chargers team and to beat a really good Philly team, that's...
Well, if you're a Texans fan and you take credit for a big win against the Chargers, then don't poo-poo on the Lions for doing the same.
Exactly.
They got one. And so that was a big deal. And then
and
the other
Philly,
thing is,
man.
How long have we been saying, and even in this market, but how long have we been saying about the NFL in general, don't crap all over being a game manager. Because if you do it right and you got the right defense, you can really have a good effect on the franchise and a good season. Well, that's exactly what Josh Allen's doing. He's getting better weekly. He's not great yet.
No.
But he's doing enough offensively so that his defense can do what they do best, and they're winning football games. Now, they have a big test coming up this weekend.
Well,
and then you're going to see who they really are.
If they can lose by less than a touchdown, that's got to be a moral victory for the Bills.
I think there are such things as moral victories when you're 3-0 and you take on your ultimate divisional rival that has been great for so long in the Patriots. But look, would it surprise me if they pulled off the upset? A little bit, yes. But it would tell you more about the fact that, hey, there's a lot of talent on that team.
So, okay, and we didn't get your answer, Nick. Who was the big surprise for you out of all those
teams?
I would
agree with Joel's exact chronological order. I mean, I think the fact that Josh Allen is able to do, again, he's not great yet and he's still learning, but the fact that he's able to do that with this team, I think you put Buffalo Bills number one. Jimmy Garoppolo, despite having that wacky preseason, he showed signs prior to getting injured, and that's why I have him at number three, but I would say my number one team is Buffalo.
Okay. Now, if I asked you, who's going to be the last remaining undefeated team?
Oh, I mean, that's a no-brainer.
I'm going to say KC.
You say KC?
Yeah.
Okay.
I just think Mahomes is playing at such a dynamic level. It's going to be harder to deal with that more than some of the other offenses right now, early on in the season. But I could be wrong.
Yeah, I think Buffalo probably falls off with their loss to the Patriots. San Francisco plays the Browns this week. Probably win that game, but then they go on the road and have to play the Rams. So they probably fall off. And Detroit has the Chiefs this week, so that's going to be a tough one to pull off. So when you look at who's left, I think there's five teams. You got the Patriots, the Chiefs, the Cowboys, the Packers, and the Rams.
I'll give you credit too because you pointed out that the Patriots defense has been much improved. Patriots defense is a big reason. Sure, Brady's Brady, and they've got some skill position players, and their schedule hasn't been like really super tough, but their defense looks really good.
Yeah.
And that's something that's going to help them when they lost a guy like Gronk, when they were having the influx that they've had at the wide receiver position. But I think Nick's right. I think the Chiefs have the best chance staying undefeated for the longest, but that doesn't necessarily now mean that they're going to just cakewalk the AFC, because what we found out is New England really is for real instead of all the question marks with all the guys lost and the changes that they've gone through. So it's going to be interesting to see. And look, Dallas, as we said, plays the schedule that's presented to them, and they've had a cupcake so far.
Right.
But it's not their fault that their division at the start of the year looked like it might be better than it is.
Yeah.
But their games are coming, too.
I would love to root for your Packers, but they got the Eagles and the Cowboys, and then they've got the Chiefs and Chargers.
Well, Lambeau Field
mixed
South
in the Lions.
Lambeau Field South has been good to Green Bay in Dallas. But I don't anticipate that being a win because Dallas is a hell of a team this year. The Philly game on Thursday night, short rest this week with both teams going to Thursday night. Good news is it's at Lambeau. But bad news is Philly's got the red ass because they just lost.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying for anywhere. That's why I wouldn't pick them.
That's the same, and I'll eliminate the Cowboys, too, because they've got Saints, Packers, and then Jets, Eagles. Three of those
Saints
four.
Saints without Breeze helps them. But
yeah, but three of those four are going to be pretty tough. It is on the road in New Orleans, but you're right. But the Packers is going to be a tough test for this mm-hmm. Cowboys team, as will the Eagles, even though they lost.
I heard Green Bay gave up the home locker room for that game.
Did they?
Yeah.
So I think it's down between the Patriots, the Chiefs, and the Rams. I'll say just because of looking at the schedule and who the Patriots really don't have a tough test until November 17th against the Eagles.
I think it's the two AFC teams, because if you watched that game last night,
the Rams looks susceptible.
Jared Goff, God love him for getting the money he got, but I'm telling you, and I brought this up on the show, and they brought it up last night with the way that they defend the Rams now, but everything that they're doing in terms of their late audibles and everything happens after that microphone's turned off in his helmet, and you can tell it's making a difference.
Yeah.
So I think in terms of polish, experience, and everything, and just potency of the Chiefs offense. I think it's Patriots and Chiefs.
And I'll just take the Patriots just because of schedule, but I think Goff will eventually figure that out. I mean, most every other quarterback in the league has to do that as well. It's just a matter of adjusting how you get the plays in and teach him how to read defenses.
And now it's trial by fire, because now he has to.
Yeah.
So maybe he'll fail early, but he'll get it.
Yeah.
He's a good enough quarterback that he'll get it. So, all right, there's hour number one in the books. Still got plenty to go in terms of college football, Astros baseball, and all everything that if you want to continue to talk about your Houston Texans and the rest of the NFL, here for you. It's the usual suspects right here on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.